welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. You know, as you get older, you start seeing things through a different prism. And so as I am a couple of years away from 70 years old, I still don't believe that, but it is true. I start looking at things and even things that I'm reading that pop into my mind that I think are really interesting discussions. And so when I was moving around through things to talk about today, I was on the Huffington Post, and this article really caught my curiosity, and it's actually a woman who moved back home with her mom and dad at the age of 45, and she, you know, had her own home, and she was with a guy, and things didn't work out, and so she decided to sell her home and move back home with her mom and dad, and she didn't expect to be there for an extended period of time. She thought she'd just go back and it'd be a short respite, and she would get back out on her own and kind of do her own thing. But she found something there that really led her to realize, you know, there's so many different stages of our lives, and you oftentimes forget when your parents, you know, when you get away from your parents and you get out on your own, and you think there's no way I can go back to my parents because I'm an adult, and how are people going to look at me if I move back in with my parents? So here's a little bit about the story. Early in the pandemic, lots of young adults returned home to live with their parents. However, my story is a little different. I returned home at the age of 45, and I've been here for 6.5 years. Before the move, I was living in my own home in another state, a two-day drive away when my 19-year relationship ended. While I had a social network, I lived in a small town that suddenly felt very lonely. I had moved there to be with him, and now it felt as though I was in the wrong place. Grief also has a way of clarifying what's important, and I had nephews who were growing quickly and parents who weren't getting any younger. So I made the decision to sell my house and furniture and move back in with mom and dad. The situation was intended to be short term, just until I found a job and another place to live. But I ended up as an adjunct teacher part-time, and my short-term solution grew into a long-term gift. My younger sister also moved home 2.5 years ago when she was 45 because she wanted to be closer to mom and dad. Her plan was also to move out eventually, but then the pandemic happened and she stayed as well. So right now, my mom, dad, sister, myself, 4 dogs, 1 cat are choosing to stick together, and it worked. So, is there something wrong with this picture? Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. Society will say that at 45 years old, you should be out on your own. And a lot of times we knuckle under to what society says, not ever giving this thought that if this works for this family, then what's wrong with it? You know, why should any of us make judgments? Maybe it wouldn't work for you. But in this instance, it's working well for this family. Now, some will say, well, you're a failure. if you go back home. And I know during my time as a young person, yeah, you were kind of looked at as a failure if you had to go back home. Did I ever go back home? Yeah, I think I went back home. I moved out when I was 18, but I had a job that could sustain me at that time. And the fact that I was from a family of 13, it was required of us that you are not going to be staying here because there were so many of us. And so my dad clearly, you know, it made us to understand when you turned 18, if you're not going to college or something like that, then you can get a job that will pay you well and you can live on your own. I went back home, I think, at about 20 years old. Left at 18, went back home at 20, and stayed about 6 months and never went back. But that doesn't mean that anybody who has gone back home, because part of this situation is helping. This young woman and her sister, 151-45, in the latter years of their parents' lives, are helping their parents in more ways than one, and it works for them. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that situation, but society will say that anybody who does that is weak. Here's a little bit more. My parents are kind, generous, and funny people, but living with them again in midlife has been an exercise in patience and humor. Who do we have on the line, Sam?
David from Mequon's calling in.
Hey, Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, Earl. I couldn't agree with you more on this topic. I wholeheartedly believe that families that do this, it shows that they have an open heart. They're willing to do what they can. And like you said, if it works, it works. I know for a fact, and you know this in conversations with you, I do whatever I can to help out my dad, my mother-in-law. And, you know, if you wanted to move in, more than welcome to move in. Because at the end of the day, when I was a kid, my grandparents actually a couple of them actually lived in their latter years, not in the age that you're talking about. But the point being, they lived together, and that was done to cut down on expenses and what have you. And there's something to be said, you know, where family members, if they can help out, terrific. And again, to your point, if it works for them, I mean, who cares? I mean, what other people think at that point.
Well, you know, we live in a society that is judgmental. And there are people who say, well, okay, you're a failure. You went back home. And and it's a blessing if you can go back home and it works for everybody. You know, there are different societies that it works better for. If you know, and we're not all the same. And so right. There are societies where you can look at the Hispanic society, and they live generationally
they do.
Together.
To your point, so across the street from me, we have a family from Vietnam. They want to say, like, three or four generations in the same house. I mean, it's a very busy house, but they're happy. You know, the grandkids are there and, you know, whatever. And they made it work. And it's nice to see because, you know, I personally feel that family is the rock of for people to get ahead in life as well. And assuming that, you know, again, if things work out, that it's a good thing because you can learn a lot from it. That you can't learn from school or whatever. There's something to be said for memories and other things. And you can pass along, when that person does pass along, as you know, we all go in the ground eventually. that you'll be able to, what you have is your pride. When you're gone, that is what you have left. And so that's what I would, add to the conversation in regards to that.
Dave, 100% correct. Anybody who, and it's easy to be judgmental, but it works in a couple different ways. The elders, as we age and get to a point where we need to have others who love us around us, as opposed to people being in nursing homes, they get to stay home longer because they have their loved ones there with them. So serves a couple different purposes, and I don't think that anybody is a failure who comes at it or comes home with the right perspective, mm-hmm. not expecting something from their parents, but there to be useful and to make life even better for their parents in their elder stages. Got to go to break, man. Thank you very much for the call. We'll be back, 844-967-2789. What do you say? Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sam was talking about this article and moving back home. And, the judgmentalness of our society is now and has always been a real problem. And so, I'll say this, home, there's a reason why they call it home. A safe place where people know you, you're comfortable, you can be yourself, and you're loved. So what's wrong with that?
It's a good question. Social media, I feel like, is one of the big roles to really amplify that judgment and that boastfulness of kind of quote unquote being ahead of someone in your age group. For example, I have an apartment. I've been with my boyfriend for a while. We're happy. I have a good job. Everything's great. But then I see, someone in my class just got married. Oh, someone in my class just bought a house. They're traveling and doing all. It's hard to be so content with your life when people go out of their way to kind of show. And I see those things and I'm like, well, I went to school like I was supposed to. I did everything I was supposed to do. Why am I not buying a house right now? Why am I not engaged? Why am I not going on all of these vacations when I did what I was supposed to do?
So let me say this to you. That's the part of social media that, those people who are telling you about the great things and that they are doing and they're pushing forward and they're doing this, when you see people who have accumulated things and things are just that, things over an extrapolated period of time. Unless you're blessed to be born into a family that has, a lot of things, it takes time, and you should never allow what you see somebody else doing or somebody else has. You can't measure your life against theirs. And look, you're 23 years old. If somebody's married, younger than that, you know, as somebody who's been married myself for over 42 years, you got plenty of time to get married, you know, and to buy a house and to do all of those things. Discover who you are first. And now all the rest of that will come afterwards. But you should never, ever, no one be concerned about those other things. Even though I'm not saying I was not different. I have the benefit of wisdom now based on my age that I could make these statements from that perspective. But I would say, you know, home, no, what was it? Click the heels three times and turn around and there's no place like home. There's no place like home. There's no place like home. That's correct. And so you've got all your life to get out and experience what life is all about. Doesn't have to happen at such a young age, you know. Who do we have on the line?
Andy's calling from Beaver Dam.
Hey, Andy, how you doing? I bet you Andy got out at 15.
Yeah. Well, Earl, I was, everybody in the 50s, 60s was, even when you were still kind of an adolescent, was expected to jump on it. You know, you got out of high school.
Right.
What are you going to do? You know, get going, you know, and I went down to Milwaukee and stayed at the YMCA for about 65 miles away and tried to find out where I was and took a bunch of aptitude tests down at what is now MATC. And I enrolled down there for a year, and then things got screwed up. And I finally, I've been pushing a pencil for so long, I'm going to try getting in the trade. So I joined the Carpenters Union as an apprentice, and I was down there. And then, you know, this kept on going. And my girlfriend was pursuing me real heavy at the time.
Yeah, you're a catch, man. You're a carpenter? Come on.
Yeah. Well, and so I lived in Milwaukee for the 5 years, and then the last couple of years I was living down there married, and my bride had a boy who's 53 now. And then, but to get fast forward, I'm back here living about a half a block from where I grew up. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh man, what are you doing? You didn't get out and travel, or you didn't do this, or you didn't do that, you know? So it's just, everybody takes a different route. So it's hard to be critical of, like the story you said where that woman moved back home at 45, and maybe she's helping her parents out.
Yes, she is. She is.
You know, so that's,
well,
that's
but
good.
You, I mean, but you know what? You know what? Here's you had an opportunity to join the trades. By joining the trades, you had a lifetime job that would allow you to get married, to buy a home, to do all those things and start early. I basically started early. I had a job at 18 years old that I kept for 34 years. So yeah. So that and it was a well-paying job. So it gave me the opportunity to leave the nest and basically, you know, go back from 18 to about 19, and you know, from 19, I think 19 to 20. I left at 18 and then had that little blip. And then from that point forward, never had to go back home. And because, you know, again, there were so many of us. But those times afforded us the opportunity to build our lives, right? I mean, that doesn't happen as much nowadays.
No, it's definitely, Earl. I feel sorry for young people nowadays.
So do I.
Because everything is so costly. And then you have other issues in your community and so forth where there's the kids are just, you know, everything is.
Yeah, it's a different world, up. Man. It's a different world.
If we're in a whole different time than we were 50, 55 or 45 years ago. So, but I just wanted to put my two cents worth in.
Well, your two cents was really well. And I do remember my dad saying to me when I would ask them, you made us get out at 18 years old. Why then, yeah. Why then are some of my other sisters and brothers still here at 23, 24? And you know what he said? He had wisdom. He said, there were those great job opportunities for you. They're not there. They're not there for your sibling. He saw that. You know what I mean? That's where the wisdom of age comes into play.
Comes in big time.
Yeah, thank you very much, my friend. I really appreciate it. Let me ask you, are you still a catch today?
Am I still a catch? I'm trying, but I'm about 7 or 8 years older than you are, so I'm kind of not as hot as I used to be.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much for the call, my friend. You got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Let's go to the phone lines. CJ, what's going on, man?
Hey there, Earl. Thank you for taking my call. I was frustrated this morning. I couldn't hear your phone.
Oh, man, that's okay. That's okay, man. That's okay. Thanks for calling, man. What's up?
Well, first off, I want to congratulate you on 43 years. That's beautiful.
Oh, you mean being married to the same woman?
For 43 years.
Yeah.
And her the same. It's not always easy. It takes more work than people.
Hey, man, nobody ever said it was easy, but I want to be half the person my father was. He was married to my mother for 66 years.
Wow.
See, how am I supposed to get started if I'm not getting married this year, Earl?
Well, you don't need to get married that early.
No. Take your time, Sam.
Yep.
It's more about quality than quantity.
You know, CJ, what do you think about the story that I was talking about where the woman who moved home...
You know, if the last part was to help their parents, that's a beautiful thing. I did that myself, and I was in my 50s. So
yeah, that's what I mean. But there's a society that thinks, and if you worry about the society, then you wouldn't have done it. You know, it was unfortunately people see things, and people's lives are different. You can't put everybody in the same. In the same category.
Yep. Don't judge a book by its cover. And, you know, one reason I call so much, Earl, is I just feel we are so blessed to live in this country. We've been given a gift of opportunity, and I see so many people squander that. And that's why, as far as school, my dad, he wasn't a man of a lot of words, but if you weren't working hard in school, he'd let you know. And, our focus has gone away from what, the Chinese kids go to school year round, to read, learn reading, writing, and arithmetic and become, chemists and engineers. We're worried about social issues now. And it's so sad because kids shouldn't have to worry about that. But I do, there's a couple of statistics I want to remind you about that I tell you all about and I find sad and frustrating. The family structure. Kids aren't growing up with a mother and father in the house today. It used to be only 15 or 20% dent in the 70s. Now it's in the 80s today. that grow up without a parent, both parents.
Well,
you
know? so that's a little high. 80s is a little high, CJ. But whatever it is, it's far too large a number. You know, and so why do they wind up in many instances? Because once people get married, they say, I'm not happy. And they have children. And back in your parents' and my parents' times, it wasn't a matter of I'm not happy. Once you have children, and this is my belief, and I'm not saying that, and it's only my belief, that right. You shouldn't be happy. But once you bring children into the world, man, the focus should not be on, hey, I'm not happy. You have created a life and with someone else. And if you're sitting back worried about you're not happy, you should have thought about that before you created a child. And now we're talking about, you know, people divorced, almost 50% or more of the people divorced. So it's not a good thing when children grow up without two parents in any situation. There are people who can overcome it, but that's not, you know, that's the exception. That's not the rule.
Well, you know, I totally agree with everything you said there, I guess. You know, and that's why it bothers me that it took COVID to find out that kids weren't learning about reading, writing, and arithmetic in school. Because parents saw the curriculums, and they don't like it, and it's going to be a force.
Okay, so did you have any children, CJ?
I got four beautiful daughters.
Okay, so you didn't know, and I'm pretty sure they're doing well, right?
They've had their struggles, but
everybody does. It's life.
They're doing okay now. Yeah.
Okay. So here's my point, CJ.
Sure.
My parents didn't, and there were 13 of us, and my parents didn't run the school.
Wow.
To find out what we were learning. Okay. They trusted the school system, and the school systems worked. But for people today, to say that the schools don't know what they're doing, they don't know what's the most important thing for my child to learn, then homeschool your child. If you feel you have all the answers, and I'm not talking about you individually, but for the people who think that they know how to educate their children better than anybody else, then homeschool. You have a right to do that. But to go into the schools and be disruptive and say, we don't like what you're teaching our child, you have an option. You know, homeschool your child.
The problem is, though, Earl, the proof is in the pudding.
What do you mean?
Again, here's the other statistics. 85% of kids in Milwaukee can't read at their grade level.
Well, let me...
You know, But the proof is in the pudding. The focus has gone away.
Again,
now it's about socialism.
I know, but listen. So social issues are part of life. If you think for 1 minute that social issues don't matter in a society, you're wrong. So people who want to constantly bring out, for people who want to constantly harp on socialism, you know, socialism is all over this nation. If you look at corporations and all the tax breaks and cuts they get, that's socialism. You know, Dr. King said it best. What we advocate, and this is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King back in the 60s, what they advocate in this country is socialism for the rich, and capitalism for the poor. And that's exactly what the deal is. Capitalism for the poor, but socialism for the wealthy. The wealthy continue to get the breaks, even though they don't need them because they've learned how to get rich. But yet things are set up to benefit them. So I don't hear people talking about the socialism when it comes to the wealthy, which I don't think you are.
No, I'm not wealthy, I guess.
Okay, so
that's one reason why I believe in flat tax.
Well, but so that would be good, but we don't have it, CJ. We're talking about what is real and what is happening right now. So social issues, as Sandy always talks about, if you don't want to deal with, if people don't want to deal with social issues, people who struggle in the society, everybody's not going to make it in the society. What do you do with people who don't make it? Let me say this to you, my friend. If what's going to be happening in the future is where this nation needs to focus on. There's so many people in this society, CJ, who are working their entire lifespans and not making much money at all. There are many jobs in this society that don't pay a livable wage, but yet people are working them every day with no benefits. They're going to become your and my age. They're going to be at retirement age, didn't save any money because they didn't make enough money to save it, even though they worked their entire lives, and also only get a meager amount of Social Security. So what is the society going to do when they wake up and have all of these people who won't be able to live somewhere, and they're going to need support from our society? That's coming. So,
yes, it is.
Okay, so then, what are you talking about? There's this social aspect to this that if the society doesn't address that, what do you think the future is going to be?
Well, you know what? That's part of the problem in school again. There's a way to teach. It's not what you make, it's what you save, and it's what you grow. And it's
hey, how can you save,
they
CJ?
Don't teach that stuff in
CJ, I had Sandy on. Sandy was on here yesterday, and talked about people making $30 an hour, and that's not a whole lot of people, and that only comes out to $60,000 a year. If you buy a home, and that's all you make is $60,000 a year, you're going to barely be able to even own an automobile or to save any money, especially if you got a family.
That's why inflation is killing people, Earl.
Hey, CJ, it's not from inflation. Inflation just got here, okay? Inflation just got here. There's been no inflation for over 20 years.
Yeah, so, and our dollar is worth less now than it was 6 months ago.
I listen.
And that's the reason people
CJ,
need to understand.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree.
It hurts the lower income people more than anything.
Hey, CJ, the people making $60,000 a year aren't exactly a strong, solid middle class. $60,000 a year, I'm not bragging. I was making that 30 years ago without a college degree, with only a high school diploma. And I wasn't alone. There were many others just like me. Industry was here. So it had nothing to do with that, with the fact that education and what we and what's happening today. It was a different world, my friend. Thank you very much for the call. We got to go to the break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back. Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. You know, I was filtering through some stories, and here's another one that that came up. You know you're getting old when you start looking at articles that say, this week I'm going to turn 50. And you know, people would say the fabulous 50s, you know, you're turning 50 and it's fabulous. And so I never understood why people waste time. You know, I remember well turning 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 and soon to be 70. And never once have I ever thought about, hey, I'm turning 40, I'm turning 50, you're too busy enjoying the fact that you are still here. And that if you have some modicum of health and a reasonable portion of your mind, then why waste any time talking about, oh, I'm turning 50. You know, a lot of people don't get a chance to turn 5, let alone 50. So, and I get it. When you turn 50, which I did 17 years ago, I don't feel like that. I mean, people act like once you turn 50, it's over for you. You know, it's not. Every day is a new beginning of your life. Every day I wake up, and I'm blessed to wake up, I don't ever say, oh man, I'm old. What is that? What kind of mentality do you have when you start saying, hey, I'm old? You know, you're not old. I don't feel old at 67. Well, you are old. Your hair is gray. Well, okay, my hair is gray. None of us, if we get to be a certain point in time, is our hair going to stay the color it is unless you, you know, rinse it a little bit or add some stuff to it. If you get to be a certain point in your life, your hair is going to gray, right? Your teeth are going to darken. Around your tummy, there's going to be some weight there that wasn't there before. Yes, there's going to be some aches and pains along the way because our bodies and our lives weren't made to last forever. But to somehow think that, oh, man, I'm turning 50, I'm old. No, that's the mindset that people have. That makes them not understand and comprehend the beauty of the life that we've been given. The fact that you've been allowed to age and still be here is a blessing. And so I've never been concerned about, you know, I'm old. I know people who are doing great things 80 years old. I know people who are doing great things 85. As a matter of fact, we've got a president of the United States that's almost 80 years old. He's not saying, oh, man, you know, I'm going to be turning 80. He's not saying, woe is me. So the aging process is what you allow it to be. You know, if you don't do anything, if you don't go to the gym, I don't care if you are 25 years old and you don't do something and all you do is sit around the house and eat and drink, guess what? You know, your life's going to be, you know, filled and fraught with troubles. If you're not active and doing something and getting out and enjoying life, then you're not going to, you know, for the most part, enjoy life. You got to live it. You got to live life. So people say to me, hey, man, when you going to retire? And I'm like, retire? I retired how many years ago? the job I was on for 34 years, I don't know, I've probably been retired for 16 years. But I didn't retire to go sit in a corner somewhere. I've been busy and active from the day that I retired. I haven't ever sat back and done nothing. I've been more active than I've ever been, even when I was younger. And as long as my health is there, I'm going to continue to be active and continue to live life to its fullest. Now, I'm not going to go skydive at 67 years old because I did that at 50. Just true.
I would never. I would never.
So I got a chance to do that at 50 years old. Might have been 52 years old. And I got to tell you that story one day. It was, you know, the opportunity was provided to me by the Golden Eagles, the number one flying a skydiving group in the United States, the same group that George Bush Sr. and many of the movie stars that skydive or had the opportunity to do it. I got that opportunity and did it. You know, I didn't go out of the plane without screaming and crying and yelling.
It doesn't surprise me that you're a little bit of an adrenaline junkie there, Earl. Can I hit you with some breaking news from Milwaukee really quick?
Absolutely.
We just heard from the Milwaukee Common Council this morning, actually, that they have unanimously decided to elect Jose Perez to serve as the council president, and he is the first Latino to hold the position.
So I just got that information on my phone. I know Jose Perez well. I am going to be reaching out to Jose Perez. We'll have him on probably in the next, what's the day, Tuesday, before the week is out. I'm going to reach out to the new mayor. We'll have him on probably. I'm going to see if I can get him on in the next day or two. So, yeah, I mean, that's breaking news. Jose Perez is a good guy and does some good work. But before we get out of here, you know, so many things that we can get bogged down with without taking the time to enjoy the life that we have and how much, you know, you don't know what time you have left. But take advantage of the time you do have, and you won't be sitting back wondering, well, I'm turning 50. Well, yeah, you are turning 50. It means you've been blessed with 50 years of life. Okay? That's nothing to be ashamed of. That's something to celebrate. Anyway, we got to get out of here. I want to thank my guest, Joe McNally. Oh, we got some great guests on tomorrow. I've got the district attorney of the city of Milwaukee, John Chisholm, will be joining us. Excuse me. We got to get out of here. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Thank you, Sam. See you guys later.